You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Close at the door. The Spring Run School is at 11 Minneakinen Road. Vendor space costs $25, includes a table and one chair. For more information, contact LaShallo at 908-300-1058 or 908-300-1236. I love the way he overcomes. I really do. That's just great. I had him on the show about a year or so ago. He was just about, actually it was 2 years ago, he was just about to graduate, and we had a great chat about it, and it was a pleasure to have him on. I wish him the best. Well, it's time for me to get on out of here. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be back again tomorrow morning. Vincent Arlino says, never say I should have. Well, regardless of whether you want to go to Matthew's event and Sue's, speak up and step out and fight back on bullying. It's just not appropriate. If you see somebody doing it, you have to talk. You have to challenge them and tell them to stop. It's in the law's hands now, but you need to make people aware. I'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Modern Design with Rich Scuderi is up next. We'll see you later.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton says the chances of a terrorist attack on New York are at their highest levels in years.
Keep in mind, we lost 6,000 cops since 9/11. We didn't gain more cops since 9/11. We lost. This year, we got 1,300 more.
Bratton told members of the Homeland Security Committee during a hearing at the 9/11 Memorial Museum yesterday that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are the main reasons for his concern. He also said social media helps ISIS get its message out, which is causing its numbers to grow exponentially. Friday will mark the 14th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. There are 21 new names on the New York Fire Department's World Trade Center Memorial Wall. All are firefighters who've died of illnesses related to their work at Ground Zero. The memorial was unveiled 4 years ago at FDNY headquarters in Brooklyn. The wall now lists the names of 110 firefighters. Donald Trump, Sarah Palin, and Ted Cruz will headline a rally against the Iran nuclear deal today. The rally should start heating up in the early afternoon on the west front of the U.S. Capitol. The Senate and House are deliberating the Iran deal this week. This is USA Headline News.
And good morning, and welcome to another edition of Modern Design. Today's show is going to be all about color. I have expert decorator Carmine Lefanto online. I'm going to talk all about color. Here we are in the beginning of a new season and new changes and changes to the environment and our colors. And the light is changing already. If people may, many people of you may have already noticed that we're losing some of the light, which is not a very fun thing. But, you know, it's time to make some changes in the home again with the change of season. But let's start by talking, being very relative. Let's talk about the weather. And the National Weather Service is telling us that currently it's already 82 degrees. It's going to be a very hot day today. Today, there's a 30% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 91 degrees. Well, that doesn't seem very autumnal, does it? Tonight, there's up to a 70% chance of thunderstorms. Likely tomorrow, Thursday, there's going to be a 70% chance of showers with a high of 76. So it's going to start getting a little bit cooler. On Thursday night, there's a continued chance of showers at 70% with a low of 62 degrees. And on Friday, there's a 40% chance of showers. So, okay. I'm going to have my guest shortly on the line. That's Carmine, and we're going to talk a little bit today about color. And let's see if I can bring him up on the line and if I have him there. Carmine, are you with us?
Good morning, Rich.
Oh, good morning. Okay, terrific. So I was just talking about our topic today, and we've been speaking before the show about all things color. We're at the beginning of, I always say there's sort of a rebirth when I think the kids go back to school, and whether you're a kid or a grown-up or a parent, there's something about it being sort of a new season like spring is a new season, fall is kind of a new season too, don't you think?
Agreed. Not only that, people begin to look back on their inside of their homes again. The summer was consumed with sports and travel and outdoor things. Now, with the holidays approaching, everyone wants to try to reinvent something if they can do it easily. Some undertake a huge renovation project, but even sometimes just a coat of paint and new accessories or changing flowers or something is just enough to make the house look like you've redone the whole place.
You're right. And I think fall in particular for us as designers is probably a peak time, and probably for you, especially in the past, it has been not only this year, but in years past, it's been a peak time because it's that sort of the countdown to the holidays. Don't you think, to that Thanksgiving table? I find
those who have procrastinated all summer now have the heat on because they want to be done by Thanksgiving, Christmas. New Year's normally doesn't enter into the situation, but I guess with the consideration of Thanksgiving being September, 3 months away, give or take.
Right.
It does give time to get projects done, but people are just beginning to plan or procrastinating, they sweat out the finale of the project.
Exactly. And I think that to me, it's always been not even so much Christmas, because really it's that push from Labor Day to Thanksgiving, when people are entertaining in their home and they want a beautiful dining room and they want the house to look good, or they want a new powder room and they're going to have guests. That seems to be the apex of it. And then between Thanksgiving and Christmas, people start to get involved in the holiday stuff. But I do agree that now is our time. Now's the time that we should be bringing people great ideas. You should be wallpapering. You should be doing stuff. You should be painting and changing your colors. And you're right, changing out. Yeah.
And there is adequate time even for those who need furniture. You know, if something has to be ordered and it's going to take 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, you still can make it in time if you don't wait until November to order it.
Exactly. So you got to get out there, and you got to go out this weekend and buy furniture or what have you. Even things like, don't you think psychologically, things like I went out and I got two pots of mums and threw them in and just made a change. It kind of feels good, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, because once the trees start changing, it's always a beautiful time of the year. I was out this morning doing the same thing, standing in the yard thinking, oh, I could reshape some gardens, and I could do this, and I could do that. And, it's like, I think it's just a reinvention kind of thing. It isn't so much always the fact that you've got to improve so much as change being a good thing. No matter what the case is, change is a nice part of doing any of these projects.
Very much so. And today's topic, as I had when we talked a little bit before we went on the air this morning, is all about color. And one of the things that Carmine and I do amongst Kitchen and Baths and the other projects that we work on is we both do a lot of color consultation. And that's a big part of our career. And color is everything. You know, color happens to be the absorption of light. And I always say that interior design is basically balance. So if you go into a box or a square room, there's things that you have to contend with to make something look attractive. The amount of light is reflected by, or could be balanced, if you will, by what you put into it. And color is a good way to balance. If you have a very bright room, maybe then you want to bring some darker tone colors in to have some balance, and vice versa. One of the things that you and I talked about recently is that just because you paint a room white doesn't mean that it's necessarily the brightest of colors. We work with number of paint purveyors, but we do a lot with Benjamin Moore, as do many people in the Northeast here. But Benjamin Moore has something called a value called LRV value, and that's light reflecting value. And it's kind of interesting, because if you have a room that's basically dark first thought is that one of the best ways to do it is to, you know, add more light to the space. No brainer. But another thing you can do is actually paint, and you don't necessarily have to paint white to get a bright color. Many colors, like yellows or pale greens or things of that nature, they have a brightness to them. So you don't necessarily have to be devoid of color to get brightness in a room, don't you think?
Well, it's always curious. You know, the questions that we have often asked of people when they want to discuss color change is, you know, we discuss their flooring, we discuss their ceiling height, we discuss windows, we discuss woodwork, we discuss trim colors, furnishings, etc. And often there are things that they completely ignore, as though when the room gets painted, it's just going to be this empty blank canvas. They forget about the fact that art or mirrors are going to hang on the walls again. And, you know, their fear sometimes of color is often then pacified by it saying, well, when you get all said and done, how much is really going to be visible of it? If you really embrace this color and you're going to have things on the walls and things on your windows and your floor is going to be something. And each time that that happens, it amazes me frequently because it's like, oh, my God, I didn't think about any of those other things. I don't know how that can be. On the other side of the coin, to go back to the white situation, of course, you know, on more than a few occasions, that is always a consideration. Gee, maybe I should just paint white. And more than one person has said to me, and which, of course, I have always quoted since, it's like, oh, I see you've primed. When are you going to paint this space?
You know, is that a little dig?
Sometimes it is an unfinished look unless you're doing a whole white
right.
space, meaning everything working in that regard. And unfortunately, you know, with all the colors that there are to choose from, to paint a room just white for the sake of the inability to commit to a color simply makes it look as though, okay, it is a little unfinished. When are you going to put the color on the walls?
And I agree, and I think what you say, it's still a little tongue-in-cheek, but I think it's also very accurate. It looks like you're priming the walls and getting ready to paint. I think that color also adds to depth, and I think if you're doing your... These days, most people, thank God, are doing white trim. So if you have a white trim... And then you have white walls. There's no depth. It doesn't show that you even have trim or molding or depth. So even if you do a light color and you do a pale blue or a pale gray or a pale tan color, at least there shows depth, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, that of course is one of our hugest contentions that we deal with each time we do color consulting is the woodwork color.
Right.
You know, it's a rare occasion unless you have a really historic home that you've got. Natural wood finish, natural finished woodwork, and typically then it's dark.
Right, or like a Tudor maybe, right?
And often, you know, you don't want to spoil that, so that's fine. You work with that.
Right.
But by the same token, the probable best choice for wood for woodwork color than it's that is white, and candidly, a pure white. There are, just in, you know, paint categories, there are probably 100 whites to select from, but each of those colors has a huge impact on the wall color, and for those people that have a difficult time committing to a wall color, then it should be an easy commitment to choose pure white as a trim color, because it will make the color on the wall read perfectly as you choose it.
Exactly.
Once you change that white to something creamier, gray, beige, yellow, now the wall color is affected as well too, and it changes that
right.
very much.
Not only are you not getting the pure color, but it's sort of skewed. It doesn't have the same. It just doesn't have the same. Overall effect, absolutely.
And, right. And the way it gives it crispness, it gives you a break from everything else that's going on in there, especially a dark room. You know, occasionally someone will even say that, you know, the room is kind of dark and they want to put a darker blind up or something of that sort. Well, again, in that case, white, again, is the best bet because it brings light in.
Exactly.
Surprisingly, but it does. And, you know, in dark room still... It still clouds your perception of the room. You know, white, no matter what the case is, whether it's woodwork, window treatment, so absolutely brightens up the space, especially in the occasions where someone said, oh, the room's kind of dark.
Oh, I agree. Carmen, we're about to go to two quick commercials. We'll be back shortly. Please stay with us with more of Modern Design.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I'm very pleased to have as my guest today, my good friend and we work together on so many different projects. Co-conspirator. I think that sounds good. It sounds a little criminal, but a co-conspirator on many projects that we're working on in Hunterton County and in the tri-state area, to be honest with you. And I always think it's very good to be challenged. And sometimes you and I have similar ideas, but often not. And it's always good to be challenged. I find that like when someone challenges me, because I think it makes me better. And one of the things I want to give you kudos for in talking about trim, because I think it's very important in talking about paint and color and light, is trim. Because when I started my career 18 years ago, there were a good amount of people, particularly in sort of the western end of the county, where I am than I think where you are, that were still with their wood trim. That, you know, they built their houses in the 60s or the 70s, and they had wood doors. A lot of them had hollow core 1960s wood doors, and they had wood trim, because my parents built their house, and we moved in 1970. That was the look. You had white or off-white walls, and you had stained trim. And stained trim denoted that you had quality, because you had quality wood. You didn't have like scrap wood that was painted white. So I had a hard time 18 years ago convincing people to take their stained trim and paint it white. And they said, well, I have real wood. Why would I cover it up? And it was a very big deal. And then times changed a little bit. And then people got into their head that they wanted to paint their trim. They understood that painting it would make the room look lighter, but they wanted to paint it off-white. And so many people said to me, oh, well, I'll paint it, but stark white, no, I'm not going to do white. I'll do antique white, which really looks yellow, or I'll do Navajo white, or I'll do some sort of a cream color and then paint, which I always absolutely hated, because as you said before commercial break, once you put a color that isn't white on as a trim, as sort of a frame around a picture, and then put the color up, the color is not going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to be, it's not going to have the same impact. And then finally, I would say in the past couple of years, I think with the sort of the trend towards more contemporary and clean lines, people have finally been embracing white and doing their trim in white, and that's been terrific. So I've been very happy with that. But you introduced me recently to something that surprised me a little bit, which is super white. And why don't you tell me about that? Because tell our listeners about that.
I'd like to elaborate on the paint situation, too.
Okay.
Part of the reason why paint trim has evolved as strongly as it has is simply because technology has been able to recreate, quote-unquote, woodwork.
Right.
Now we're not only limited to solid wood products. There are pieces that are finger jointed. There are products that are fiberboard as crown moldings and door trims and whatever. Of course, now they take paint beautifully. They are only able to be painted unless someone should do a faux finish on them.
Right.
But it has cut the cost of trim way down.
You know, that's very valid. That's a valid point. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that as a result, you know, has directed people more so than forced them to consider doing paint, because that's the best way to finish a product like that.
Right. No.
But that being said, also not to change the opinion that you had, but candidly, there are certainly occasions where, you know, a trim other than a bright white does work with a dusty colored contrasting wall. You know, the difficulty with that is often the homeowner has the consideration of wanting to use a trim continually in the house.
Right.
Super white or bright white like that certainly works in all spaces. It matches with plumbing fixtures. It'll match with even a storm door, something that you may purchase as a white product.
Exactly.
Once you deviate from that, it isn't so much that you can't carry that color through, but it is somewhat more limiting. And it's fine if you have, oh, I have an antique white cabinet in the kitchen, and I'm going to put that same color in my bathrooms, I'm going to carry the trim all the way through. Great. And it can absolutely happen. But it's not as simple sometimes as it may seem.
But now here's the thing, and I want to just interject just for a second, because you brought up something that's very relevant and comes up all the time. I first of all, two things. One is I believe that you should have continuity in a home, and I say that all the time in modern design and modern design too. So your trim color should be throughout the house the same. You shouldn't have one room with gray trim or one room with green trim. It's a mess. You can change your wall colors, but not your trim. So I agree with that strongly. But the one exception I have is your cabinets. Now these days people are doing white cabinets, but for people that have off-white cabinets or, you know, things of that nature, I don't believe that your trim, your wall trim, has to match your cabinet color. But a lot of people are confused about that, don't you think?
Yes. Well, I guess it's one of those double things. There's absolutely nothing wrong with matching cabinet color, provided you have contrast in the wall between the cabinet and the woodwork.
Right.
But by the same token, let's imagine that you did an antique white kitchen and you still want to have white woodwork.
Right.
The white woodwork looks beautiful with that in spite of it. Again, it is trim. It's not furniture. It's not cabinet work. It's simply woodwork.
Right.
And that being said, it's part of the structure of the house as opposed to an interior implementation such as furniture or cabinet work.
Right.
So that being said, you know, absolutely, white trim works with every color, just as it works with every paint color as well. You can probably not come up with a paint color that wouldn't work with bright white trim.
Exactly. And like you said, for things like with bathrooms, most commodes and sinks now are white. So when you're tying it into the white trim, it's very crisp. But you have a layer between those two because you have the wall color. And I also think a wall color is sort of reflective, and it gives that white trim sort of a softness. Don't you think it's somewhat reflective to it?
And even if the wall covering winds up being wallpaper rather than paint,
right,
the white trim is still appropriate.
Oh, I agree. And it's crisp. It's like a beautiful frame, don't you think?
You know, let's go back in time, you know, when things like wood paneling were in, you know, the in thing as well, too. And, of course, that was part of the impetus of all the natural wood interiors.
Right.
Truthfully, today the only place that you're probably going to see that amount of wood work is if you have a legitimate, true, you know, custom-built library or a room like that in a home.
Or a Tudor house, because the Tudor house is I think.
Or a historic home, sure. Right.
But I think that, to me, I find it difficult, or I have to do a different palette. If I'm going into a true Tudor home that's really grounded by, I have a gentleman that works for me in Hunterdon County, and he wanted to build a colonial, and his wife wanted to build a Tudor. And, of course, the wife won. Happy wife, happy life. And the problem he brought me in for is to do color consultation, because he would say, you know, I see you on your jobs picking such beautiful colors, and then I bring the chips home of the colors that you do, and in my house they don't look as interesting because I'm grounded by, you know, often real Tudors have very dark, very heavy molding. And, you know, you have to, I think your palette has to be a little bit different to compensate for dark stained, don't you think?
Listen, unless you're trying to truthfully reinvent the interior, which, you know, often it is an interesting twist to do a more updated or modern interior in spite of the fact that it's surrounded by a Tudor framework, so to speak.
Right.
But more times than not, you know, the typical colors you're going to see tend to be creamy pastels and light colors and things because of the, you know, often the situation, dark floors, dark baseboards, dark trim, sometimes even ceiling beams.
Right, you know, you have the ceiling beams.
A lot
and
of darkness around.
Right, exactly. In a dining room, you get a very high wainscot and a lot of dark. Mm-hmm. I've also found that for me, if I'm working on a Tudor home, and not that they're that common, but they do come up from time to time, the autumnal palette works very well with dark wood trim if you have a Tudor or you have a customer that's not going to let go of their dark stained molding. Mm-hmm. If you work with greens and golds and reds and russets, the autumnal colors pair nicely, I think, with that.
And again, that being said, those are more more historic-like colors. I mean, in the, you know, in olden days, there were no bright greens and lemon yellows and things. They didn't know how to formulate those pigments.
Right.
So our eye accepts those kind of richer colors in a dark interior like that as being something that really works nicely.
Exactly. I want to get back to the super white thing, because that was something that I found as a surprise to me, actually. Because typically, and I will say this on Modern Design, and every day I learn, and every day when I come to somebody else's house, a client's house, sometimes I pick up something and I pass that along, and I think that makes us better. And that's one of the reasons that we do Modern Design Radio, because we're sharing experiences, and I think it makes us more educated and better at what we do. I always did white trim from day one. I liked it. It was crisp. It was cream. I liked clean. I like white semi-gloss trim. That's my preferred look. Carmine had brought to my attention that he's using a color now that's even brighter than white, which is super white. And I tell you the truth, I held up a color that I use often with the white, and then I held it up with the super white. And the white, which is actual white, it's their 00, it's the basic white, it's their white color. And when I saw the super white, I thought that the white looked kind of bluish. And that really surprised me. Can you figure out why that is?
Well, it's often perception. If you were to hold that sample of white up indiscriminately against anything, you would never say that it isn't white.
Right.
It seems that once you put it against something else, because again, you know, just to repeat the fact that there are so many tones of white, but you know, you go into a paint shop, you say, oh, give me a can of white paint. There is a basic white.
Well, it's like a pre-mixed, something that's been...
So to speak, yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Whereas super white, you know, again, it's a specific color from a specific manufacturer, but the fact of the matter is, you'll find that if you place that against plumbing fixtures, sinks and tubs and tiles and things like that, it really is the color that it is.
And you like super white, right?
It would be terrible,
right?
But the super white is just better, that's all.
So you've been using super white for a while.
Yes, I have.
Right.
Yeah, it's because I've always read it as being the purest, the brightest, the whitest white,
right.
Really.
And yet,
being said,
right.
You know, it's also the easiest. Everything matches with it. Everything blends with it without ever negotiating, you know, just a slight tinge of antique white against white trim. The white trim still looks white. The walls still look antique white. There's no mediation there to say the woodwork looks a little dingy or the walls don't look fresh. It's perfect together.
And do you agree with myself that that trim should always be semi-gloss? There should be definitely a differentiation between the sheen on the walls and the sheen of the trim.
I totally agree. There were occasions where I would attempt to limit sheen a little bit and use satin on trim.
Okay.
And it just doesn't have the same punch. It almost looks flat.
It does, doesn't it?
Gloss.
Yeah. And also, yeah. Isn't there some sort of a protective layer the more sheen you go to?
Well, the shinier a paint is, the smoother the surface is, and meaning that it has less surface texture. So not only does dirt not stick to it as easily, but of course, if it does get dirty, it wipes off easier.
Right.
Because it is smoother.
Carmen, we're just about to go to a quick news break. I'm going to ask you to stay with us, and we'll be back shortly with more Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. The president of the European Commission has plans to resettle thousands of refugees from the Middle East.
The fundamental right to asylum is one of the most important international and European values. We should not forget that.
Jean-Claude Juncker is proposing that 120,000 more people, mainly Syrians, be given asylum in a number of EU nations. The plan calls for binding quotas on how many migrants each country would accept. Juncker announced the plan earlier today following the surge of thousands of refugees over the past few days. The attorney for a Kentucky County clerk jailed for refusing to issue marriage licenses to gay couples says Kim Davis will return to her job, but she won't issue marriage licenses. More than a dozen people are recovering from injuries after a fire broke out on a British Airways jetliner at Las Vegas McCarran Airport during takeoff yesterday. Airport officials say some 170 passengers and crew members safely evacuated the Boeing 777. This is USA Headline News.
Turn down that radio!
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-485-4408. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-485-4408. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-485-4408.
And we are back with Modern Design. My guest today is the very accomplished Carmine LaFanto, who has been working with me in my business for quite a number of years now, or seems like quite a number of years, and working on a lot of different projects in not just in Hunterdon County, but also all over the state and in the tri-state area. If you'd ever like to come visit, we do have a shop. There's a shop located right on 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey, Mavet Hill Designs. I share my space with John McLean from Rugs to Riches. We have a 2,500 square foot showroom with everything from gifts, accessories, china, beautiful finishings, specialty candles and gift items, to rugs, broadloom carpeting, specialty rugs, and hardwood floors. So come check us out. Anyway, so before we went to break, we were talking about trim. And I think we are definitely in conference that we do want to do a semi-trim in a white color. That seems to be the best bet. I wanted to transition, before we talk about walls, I wanted to transition to ceilings because I think this is where their trouble sort of comes in. There's sort of no set rule for painting ceilings. Now, I think it becomes down to a thing of personal taste. And my personal taste is that I'm a very big fan of, first of all, a ceiling-formulated paint. Ceiling paint should be not like wall paint. It should be flat as possible, according to what I feel is right, because you want to hide shadows. Often, you know, when you're building, you don't always have a level surface, and when you have a flat white paint as a ceiling paint, it hides shadows and inconsistencies. So I always recommend a white ceiling-formulated paint. And I don't typically paint ceilings. The only time that I'll paint ceilings is if there's some sort of an architectural detail. For example, I'm working on a home in Maplewood right now, which is an enclosed porch. And in the enclosed porch, the inlay of the ceiling is beadboard. And in the beadboard, we're going to do a very pale blue, just to denote that there's some architecture there. Often I will paint inside a tray. If someone has a tray ceiling in a bedroom or a dining room, I'll paint within that tray a color to denote the architecture, but never the whole ceiling, because I think the rule of thumb for me is that whereas trim should be consistent throughout, I think ceilings should be consistent throughout. So that's kind of how I've dealt with painted ceilings. And I'm curious of your opinion or your preferences.
That being said, I suspect I often will suggest to someone that the ceiling is usually a space in the room that most people simply ignore.
That's true.
Indiscriminately, automatically, and without any other thought process, well, oh, the ceiling should be white. And, you know, in most, and I'll use that word in quotations, most instances, that really is the perfect answer for it. But that being said, you know, it is also a surface that can take on a huge amount of interest in the room with a little bit of dare, you know. It's not very easy to persuade someone to put color on the ceiling if they have never thought about it before.
Right.
Surprisingly, though, I find a lot of people today are absolutely addressing their ceilings in a different way than they ever had before, whether it's simply the fact that they want a little more visual interest, in addition to the fact that, you know, in new construction, a lot of ceilings are higher. The distinction between white woodwork and a white ceiling is lessened, or is certainly is greatened if you put color on the ceiling. Now your woodwork even shows differently because you have a contrast between it and your ceiling surface.
Right.
What you mentioned about flat being the case, yeah, I mean there's a huge distinction between flat and matte, and flat technically is slightly duller, but it's also a finish that is the most disguising because it has effectively no reflectance.
And typically, Carmine, if you're asking for a sealing formulated paint, it's going to be flat, isn't it? Like a pre-mixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's two reasons for that. I mean, the flat has slightly less durability for abrasion, but of course you never touch your ceiling, so therefore flat in that situation is perfect. And secondly, it doesn't really give you the great ability to wash it. But again, typically, unless wine or something hits your ceiling, typically you're not going to be washing your ceiling. When it's time for it to be refreshed, it's going to get another coat of paint.
Right. And then, you know, also, if you keep your ceilings white and your trim white, your trim is going to be semi-gloss and your ceiling is going to be white. So you will have a differential between those two because of the sheen. But, you know, I understand the need for trying other things. And the one thing I was thinking about, as I said, where I like to put color in ceilings is when there's architecture. The exception is when I do a commercial space. When somebody has a drop ceiling, even if it's a low drop ceiling, often what I suggest to people scares the heck out of them. I often suggest that they, which seems counterintuitive to what I'm saying, I often suggest that they paint ceiling tiles black, and usually with much trepidation on the client's part. But the reason I suggest that is black is sort of the absence of light or space. It sort of reflects sort of like just openness or open space. If you look at the night sky and it's dark, that's kind of like what it is. And with me, with drop ceilings in, and looking at our drop ceiling in studio here, painting it out a dark color, you no longer see the tracks, you no longer see anything, and it sort of just dissipates.
Exactly. Sometimes it just, in spite of the fact that the normal way of thinking would be, oh, if I'm going to do a black ceiling, it's going to make the space seem smaller, lower, darker. But the fact of the matter is, your eye doesn't even perceive it any longer. The ceiling now doesn't exist.
It goes away, doesn't it? The ceiling, in fact, when it's black, sort of just dissipates. It goes away.
Like you also notice that in restaurants and stores, especially in older renovated buildings.
Right.
They're very apt to paint the ceiling even charcoal, navy blue,
right.
Black, something of that sort, to not deal with it. Every time you put something that's light, and especially if there's a defect in the ceiling, could be a crack in the plaster. Any little defect shows up like a huge problem.
Right.
Painted a dark color. The ceiling looks perfect.
Right, it just goes away. So it's kind of funny how that works. And then I wanted to, of course, finally transition onto to paint. And Carmine and I have a running joke when someone comes in or they want to come to us for paint consultation. What is always, always, always the first color that they're looking for?
Gray.
Gray. The color of depression, yes, gray. So we kind of tease about that a lot because I would say, you can't say 100% because that would probably be not accurate, but I would say
75% now, I think.
What would you say?
To finally get away from that.
A little bit, little bit. But often I would say, you know, people will come to me and say, I want you to come out and do a color consultation for my whole house. And I open up my my palette of beautiful colors, and they're the only, you know, they want to see 50 different shades of gray. And I call my kit 50 Shades of Gray because they want to just do everything. And many people have said to me, Carmine, I have a brand new construction house with all the stuff going on, architectural details, all this opportunity for color, and I want to do every room in gray, different shades of gray. But let's talk about gray let's talk about gray in itself because I think there's something that people don't really realize about gray. Gray is a very difficult color to work with because gray is the combination of black and white. And depending upon the degree of black or ratio of black to white, the color could be very blue. It could be very purpley. It could be very brown. It could be very green. Grays vary probably more dramatically than any other color I've seen. Do you find that as well?
I think it's because we've been so concentrating our efforts on going through grays that we've learned to scrutinize every single tone that there is.
That's probably true.
When the trend changes to blue, we'll be doing the same negotiations. Someone looking for a greener blue, a golden blue, a violety blue. So the fact of the matter is, it's going to be no easy once we finally make a transition to another really super popular color.
But I think people.
Gray will die a slow death. Yeah, we'll be working with gray for years.
Oh yeah, gray will be for years. And I'm not saying I wouldn't paint a room in my house gray. I wouldn't paint every room in my house gray.
Right.
And I think that one of the beauty of a home is, and I always say this, if you have a terrific home, whatever it is, contemporary, traditional, Tudor, whatever, cottage, bungalow, whatever you have nice, crisp, white trim, you have white ceilings, and then you have beautiful colors, and you have gray in there as a palette, which is a color that I like, but you have other colors, so you appreciate the gray room. And I think that
frankly, you know, a lot of people are taking our initiative with the super white trim lately.
Right.
It hasn't been a very difficult transition to persuade many of them to do so.
Right.
When you can candidly make a good argument about it, especially with the consideration of all the different tones of gray and how impacted they would be with a trim other than true, pure white, the decision really becomes more simple to say, absolutely, I really need to put, you know, a brighter white trim.
Exactly.
That being said, then, you know, we go back to the gray situation. The number of different grays, of course, that are also being featured, you know, have changed as well. I think that probably when gray first became popular, it was more of a pure gray, really minimizing impact of green or brown in it. It was more just the black and the white mixture.
Exactly.
A little bit of blue, might even look a little purple. Now we're seeing the gray finally warm up a little bit.
Right. We're seeing lately, don't you think we're seeing a lot of brown grays lately? I'm seeing a lot of brown grays.
And I guess, you know, we're liking that more to taupe than anything else, because if they have a higher prominence of brown, you know, they're really getting away from the gray totally. But that is, I guess, the new evolution of where gray is going.
Right. Well, I did read an article that's saying that chocolate brown is going to come back. So having the grays actually evolve and become a little bit of a brown gray kind of makes sense, as you know, decorating is fashion, so it's always evolving. So I think that might be one of the reasons we're seeing probably less blue grays and more brown grays. I tend to like the brown grays too, for what you just said, because they're warmer.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I always say I like to be outside the box. I like to be trending what's going to be next, or what you like, or what colors that you like to work with. And I always sometimes like to go against type and not do what everybody else is doing and do something different, because I hope it's going to sort of inspire people to try something else. What are some of the for home?
That wholeheartedly.
What are some?
Often people will come to us and they'll ask, well, what's your favorite gray? What's your favorite blue? I candidly have no favorite colors in the color systems. It seems that every project probably has a perfect solution.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to go to a go-to color all the time.
Right.
So it's curious, you know, that people often ask that question, and I give the same answer all the time, because if someone were to stop me and say, you know, what's your favorite green, I could give you probably a list of a number of them. But I can't say that anyone is my favorite. It's just that whichever is the perfect color for a specific project, that's my favorite one at that time.
Well, you know, that's a very valid point. And one of the reasons I think people use designers is for this, is that they can go out and look at things, and they're like a kid in a candy store. I like this, I like that, I like this, I like that. And it's not a matter of what you like. It's picking the best choices for the space that you have. So, for example, you may have five greens that are really beautiful, and they're all really beautiful greens, but because of the absorption of light, because of the placement of the windows, because of the exposure of the house, because you have a dark hardwood floor, because you have a low ceiling, because it's low below grade, those are going to affect which one of those choices look the best. And maybe of those five greens, the one you like the least is the one that looks the best at the space, don't you think?
I mean, often, you know, in selecting other items, for example, the same question always comes up, oh, I don't really like the way this looks or something. And unfortunately, I guess my always answer to that is, for the right situation and the right project, that would be the perfect solution. Not the right solution necessarily for our project or for
right.
what we're doing right now. But, you know, in spite of that, there wouldn't be as many colors out there if there wasn't not only a need for them, but a want for them as well.
Absolutely. Carmen, we just have a few quick commercials, and that will be our last set of commercials. So if you just stay with me for one more set, I really appreciate it. Okay, we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back with more of Modern Design. I ask for those of you who are going to be around this afternoon listening, we do a second show on Wednesdays at 2 to 3, and that's called Modern Design, Design Dilemmas. And that's more of an interactive show. And in the Design Dilemmas, I ask you to call in with your design questions. And the phone number for 2 o'clock today, Eastern Standard Time, is 908-237-0410, 908-237-040, and ask us anything about design, your ideas, maybe just tell us what you're working on and so on. I do collect all week through social media, through Facebook, through Twitter, and also through my client questions and visits, as well as through emails. I collect questions that clients have, and we do read them on the air and hopefully help you with some of your design needs. Again, as my guest today, who's been very patient, is Carmine LaFonta, who's been in the industry for many years, working with me on projects. And today's topic happens to be color, which is very relevant. And before break, we were talking about the trend towards grays and looking maybe for other solutions or some sort of a balance. It seems that we're sort of tipping the scales with everything being gray. Which is, you know, gray is a nice color. Gray makes a nice cabinet, like for a butler's pantry. It's terrific. You know, there's a lot of things where grays could look nice. Grays pair with a lot of nice colors. I love gray and yellow together. I think it's a beautiful combination. Gray and coral together is a beautiful combination. Gray, if you have a cottage, is a beautiful outside color to do. But not just gray. You have to have sort of balance. Otherwise, it could be very drab. Agreed?
Agreed. You know, we also have to make the consideration of what gray has impacted. Gray has become a very strong factor in a lot of industries.
That's true, right?
Colors typically begin in fashion, in clothing, in fabric, and things of that sort.
Very true.
Home fashions, you know, pick up usually secondly, and of course, paint is an easy thing to formulate a color into.
Right.
We then see a filtering down into, you know, more mainstream, even kitchen cabinet manufacturers and companies like that, you know, now are offering all these colors. In any company where they've always had custom going on, any color was always available.
And I do like gray cabinets, do you?
Well, that's what's happening now. You know, we mentioned earlier in the program that, you know, it's dying a slow death, and of course, and this is going to perpetuate the incidence of gray, because it's all well and good to say I'm going to paint a room gray, but once you begin to put more permanent things in, like cabinets and even furniture, upholstery, draperies, things like that, you probably will have that for a while. So that being said, gray is going to linger for quite a while.
Right.
You finally see it, you know, peter out completely.
Well, it's somewhat safe, right?
It's something that's out of style.
Right, but it's somewhat safe, I would say.
It's a relatively neutral as well.
Right.
Seemingly, whatever new color, even, you know, we see on the horizon, you know, as blue, you know, will we be, you know, saying that blue is the new new standard for neutral? We may be.
I see blue as the, and you and I can talk about this because we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary. October will be the 1 year anniversary at my new location, 1 US Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. And when we were, and Carmine certainly was instrumental in helping me get the store open. And when we were looking about creating a backdrop, I really felt strongly, and blue was not in at all at the time, of doing a navy backdrop. And you know, gray was so in the time. The carpeting was gray. It would have been great to have done a charcoal gray in the space. But I really felt that I wanted to do something outside the box. And I have to say, not to just give myself a little kudos, but yeah, I'm going to, is that I noticed even a few months after I did that, I was seeing navy blue popping up now, being sort of reinvented with, you know, much more of a modern twist to it. A lot of like an iCat fabric and different interesting fabrics and textures and ideas. But I did see the blue coming. And I'm also seeing now a combination of navy blue and like a blue-gray together. I see that. I'm seeing that a lot in decorating. But definitely, I think navy blue is going to be the next wave. I feel like we always have these wave colors. For a long time, it was sage green. And then for a while, everybody wanted a red dining room. I think the next wave is going to be navy blue. I do. I just think it's universal. You could do it when it's contemporary. You can do it when it's traditional. It stands the test of time. I think it's a great color. Would you want everything navy blue? No, navy blue is certainly a color that's sort of a show color. And if you have a navy blue dining room, I don't think I want to even see it on walls anywhere else in the house. Maybe in fabrics or being spread around, but not to be more than one room. Don't you think?
Yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. Because I think the fact that more people probably embrace blue than they would embrace gray necessarily, and considering how many people we saw wanting gray.
Right.
Simply, I don't know, I'm not always sure sometimes whether it's the fact that it was featured, of course, in every single magazine that you open.
Right.
Initial ads in every magazine were of a room in a gray setting.
But also what you said.
With gray and gold to gray and yellow to.
Right.
Now we're seeing the blue added to that. So we know the trend is changing.
Yeah. But also what you
said. Becomes the question.
What you said was very intuitive, and I wanted to repeat it because I thought it was very smart. Paint colors or color in general comes off of fashion, and what you're saying is very true. I meander through stores. If I have some free time, I will just, and I'm not looking to buy anything, but I will walk through nice department stores, and I will look how things are laid out, and you'll see a trend towards color which follows suit with home decorating. All of a sudden, you know, when before gray came in, you would see a lot of gray shirts and a lot of gray slacks and, you know, the men's suiting department. And then my new wallpaper books would come up and they had a lot of, you know, grays and heather tones and those type of colors. And then it followed through with paint. So I think you were very astute to see that it's, you know, it's just part of fashion in general and it follows suit of the other things that are out there, don't you think?
Well, it's also curious, you know, if you find something in a store, again, let's say clothing specifically, that you really do like, and it's one of those kinds of things that you say, that you have to basically look beyond that and think, gee, could I see living with this color around me instead? You know,
right.
Could that be inspirational for a window treatment, for bedding, for upholstery, for paint color, for rugs, carpets, things of that sort? You know, curiously enough, that's where most of these colors do begin because, of course, the trend always winds up starting as fashion.
Right.
In years past, it took a long time for it to filter down into home furnishings, but now the turnaround time is certainly quicker.
Right.
Because there's a greater demand for people being more, you know, cutting edge rather than saying, well, I'll eventually catch on to the trend in a little while.
But especially where we
right now.
Right. Especially where we live near New York City. And
right.
Right. Yes. I agree. I absolutely agree. Another thing that I think, and I've always said this, and people sort of chuckle when I say this, but I truly believe this. I think people, as in fashion, decorate with colors that look good with their color tones. And I'll give you an example. I have a client who's a redhead, and I've noticed she likes to decorate with earth tones, olive greens, tans, taupes, colors that would look good on a redhead. And I really think that there's a psychology to that. You want to surround yourself with things that make you feel better, and then what's in your zone. And I'm curious, I've never even proposed that to you. Do you think that's true? I like navy blue because you notice I wear a lot of navy blue. I'm blonde and blue-eyed, so I like blue because that's my best color. Sometimes I'm doing my laundry, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a Smurf. Everything I own is blue. But I like blue, so I like to decorate with blue. And I wonder if somebody that has, that has red hair or, you know, whatever their coloration is, maybe they're African American and they love, you know, beiges and creams and beautiful tones like that, or earth tones, that's part of picking color.
I'm sure it has influence, whether it is upfront and they recognize that, or whether it's simply suggestive, or whether or not. It's simply something that's intuitive, that that a color reflection, just is more appealing to you. It's a very interesting point, you know, whether people choose colors because they make themselves look good, or is it simply the fact that they choose colors often simply because they like them,
right,
or they found something else that works well together with it.
Right.
It's an interesting concept, but kind of a tough answer.
Yeah. Carmi, believe it or not, we're coming down to the last minute, and I wanted to get your thoughts because you're very intuitive in regards to color and your philosophy and what people should be doing out there if they're getting ready to paint for the fall now for their holidays when they're going to pick color. What's just some general last minute thoughts that you have on that?
Well, it's often the case that the biggest obstacle that we find all the time is that people select their colors not in the location that they're going to be used.
Okay.
We could have a recording and preach that every time that we speak with somebody.
Right.
It is so important to choose your exterior colors outside, not in showroom, not in your home.
Exactly.
Select them out on your steps.
Exactly.
If you're doing an interior space, lighting is something that I preach about all the time. Color of light bulbs, amount of lighting, even natural light that comes in from sunlight and things of that sort has such a huge impact. And unfortunately, some people get so bogged down making a color selection and then realize that they've not made the right choice because they didn't choose it in the setting that it's going to be used.
Very, very
huge when it comes to picking paint.
Very important information. Carmine, you've added so much today. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure, as always.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again. I just want to let my listeners know that, again, I will be back here at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. And if you'd like to call me at 2 o'clock, that would be 908-237-0410. Thank you for listening to us today and supporting our show. And we'll see you back here in studio at 2 o'clock. Have a good day, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. The president of the European Commission has plans to resettle thousands of refugees from the Middle East.
The fundamental right to asylum is one of the most important international...
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
This
Christie doesn't USA headline news. I'm Ron Taylor. Rather, the current laws simply need to be applied.
For 30 years, these folks in Congress, previous presidents, haven't enforced the law. And maybe I come at this from a really direct point of view, but what I believe is you're elected to enforce the law.
The New Jersey governor tells Fox News that the border needs